are from here, but if you're visiting, that's the heartbeat of our fellowship is men. Men that rise up, men that go and they preach the gospel, men that will lay it all on the line, so to speak, for God, for a greater cause, because we all know that God has something greater for us in the future. We all know that God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And today I want to speak on a topic that seems to be something that we need to contend against, and that is the culture of the age. More and more in today's society, we're seeing an influx of ungodliness, a complete blatant going against the Word of God, going against what God would have us do. And it's just an overly overwhelming acceptance of sin that's been let loose. And if we're going to be effective in the kingdom of God, if we're going to rise up against this, then there's something that we're going to have to do, and that is called the counterculture. We're going to have to become the counterculture. And so I want to read a portion of Scripture out of Galatians 3. 26 through 29. If you have your Bibles, you guys can open it up to that. And so, how many of you know that when we become Christians, when we become saved, when we become believers in Jesus Christ, there are certain things that this that are part of us that are from this world that have to be cut off. Certain ties that are there, certain appetites, the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak. There are certain things that change. We don't act the same way, and if we do, then, you know, God's got to do some work in each and every one of us. I know He had to do that for me. And so, but when we get saved, we are grafted in. We are adopted into this family. The Bible says that we are sons and of God. This is what our text is going to tell us. And if we are going to become true sons of God, if we are going to become true believers, true Christians, then we're going to have to cut ties with our current culture and go against it. Go against the grain, so to speak, right? We are called to be set apart. We are called to be different. This is the idea of holiness. This is the idea of sanctification. This is the idea of being saved, is that you go against what this world would have you conform to. And so I want to read Galatians 3, 26 through 29, very familiar portion of Scripture. And it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are in Christ, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Well, I want to preach a simple message simply called counterculture. I want to talk first about the culture of the age. And so the culture of the age, how many of you know, focuses on me, on the person of me. We're very self-centered. This is the era and the age of the selfie. Last year, during Christmas time, a report that I read said that the selfie stick, most of you have seen this, it's about a 4-foot stick that you put your phone on and you can take selfies, that the selfie stick was the number one selling item for Christmas. And so this has become the generation that we live in. It's all about self-indulgence. It's all about self-gratification, self-interest. What feels good to me, that's the only thing that matters. And so this manifests itself in many different ways. And if we are going to go against the grain, if we are going to go against the culture, then we're going to have to rise up and make stands against certain things, against certain principalities and certain mindsets that go against our convictions and what we believe in as Christians. And so we have in today's society, sexual immorality runs rampant. It's something that has permeated the very fiber of society. We live in a sexually glamorized society where sex has been put up on this pedestal and exalted. It has been lifted up to this place where anything goes. And if anybody speaks out against it, then you're considered a bigot. You're it's considered hate crime. It's considered something that you don't talk about. You just what they do is what they do. You don't confront it. Celebrities, movie stars, music, literature. This is all propagating sexuality because they know that's what sells. And so here we have this issue of sexual immorality, and we are called to be pure in this generation. We are called to be set apart from that. We can't indulge in that type of stuff and that type of activity and still expect to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. You can't sit in a movie theater and watch people have sex. You can't sit in your living room on your computers and watch people indulge in these activities and then on a Sunday come in and expect the Holy Spirit just to fall down because you're doing something on the inside. An article that I read, it said that sexual images and violence, these are the two images that have this incredibly different effect on the human brain. Is that you don't just watch these images and it just goes away, but these images, what they do is they ingrain themselves in a part of the brain and it stays with you. Reading another article in Business Insider, it said TV nudity is being rated acceptable for kids. And so this is a phenomenon that has been going on ever since TV has been going, and they call it a ratings bump. And what they do is they'll start adding little things that used to be that used to go against the censorship of TV and broadcasting and all that. But now what they do is they'll start adding little things here and there. And if they get away with it, then they add more and they add more. And I'm not talking about Cinemax. I'm not talking about HBO. I'm not talking about these cable programs. This is network television that are blatantly showing nudity and they're showing explicit acts of sexuality. And this is becoming acceptable for kids. This is on prime time when people are having family time. Family time. Let's watch a good show on TV. Oh, it's not good anymore unless it's foul, unless it's violent, unless it's sexual. And this is the culture that we live in. And so today's culture says, don't marry unless you're for sure. Don't marry, test it out first. This is another area where we've become obsolete, basically, in believing stuff like this. And so today's culture is saying, okay, it's okay. Let's shack up with them, live with them for a little bit. If it doesn't work, well, then, just move on to the next person. God says, I have designed one man and one woman to be joined together in holy matrimony. And more in today's society, on my way to Phoenix to pick up Pastor Mitchell, I was listening to the radio. And this radio personality, he's speaking, and he's talking about this whole big thing that's going on in Indiana with the gay marriage and all this stuff. And he's like, you know what? Why don't we just let these religious fanatics go and do what they want? Because in the end, their stupidity will cause them to fizzle out. Their own stupidity, their own ignorance, their own self-will, all that stuff is what's ultimately going to destroy them. So just leave them alone. Let them have their time, and we can continue living the way we want. This is the society. This is the culture that we live in. That we have become the weirdos. We have become the hateful individuals. Our own president taking shots at Christians. Just recently, I just read this last week. He's at this news conference, a press conference, and he's taking shots at Christians. And so here in today's God, and in the midst of all this, God is telling you, rise up. Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for holiness. Go against the culture. Go against the grain. Don't act like them. Be different. Don't have the same mindset as them. Think differently. Don't speak the same way they do. Speak different. But so often the temptation is to go with them, right? More and more, increasingly, you have churches that are saying, oh, we got to be like the world so the world will come in. We got to get Christian tattoos, and we got to be bikers, and we got to be cowboys, and we got to do, that's what's going to, but no. Have you ever noticed when society tries to be more and more different, they all end up being more and more the same? And so here, God is saying, you're my sons. I have saved you. I have called you. You have been baptized in my name. There's neither Jew, there's neither Greek, there's neither slave, there's neither male or female. We're all one in Christ. And if we're going to rise up in this generation, in this culture that comes against us so heavily, then we're going to have to rise up and be different. We're going to have to go against it. Matthew 19, 4 and 6, it says, for he answered them, he said, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And so this is in the context of marriage. This is in the context of what God has planned for each and every one of us, has ordained for each and every one of us, is that we could have an incredible relationship with a wife. Hopefully none of you are looking for men. With a wife, with a woman. And it will be good. Because this is what God has called us for. Romans 1, 24 and 27, it says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. This is... That's why the Bible is incredible. I said it Wednesday. Although it was written thousands of years ago, today it still rings true. It's like we're reading the headlines today. And God is saying, I have called you. My sons, you have a place in the kingdom. Rise up. Be different. Go against the grain. God tells us, don't place anything unclean before your eyes. Psalms 103 says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. You're saved in this place. More and more, with our smartphones and our devices, and that temptation is there to click and watch something that you're not supposed to be putting before your eyes. To read things that you shouldn't be reading. Recent statistics says there are a total of 4.2 million pornographic websites. There are on average 68 million requests for porn on search engines a day. 2.5 billion pornographic emails are sent. 100,000 websites offering illegal child pornography. And monthly internet porn sales are $4.9 billion. That's scary. But there is a specific and targeted attack on men who want to live righteously. And if you're going to sit here and you're going to say, well, that's all them, that's good, they can protect themselves, I'm good, I can handle it, you're sadly mistaken. You can't play with that kind of stuff. You can't indulge in that kind of stuff and still expect things to be okay. It'll destroy. It'll distort. It'll curse. It'll bring about shame. It's an aggressive spirit. More and more we hear, and it's tragic to hear, moral failures, even in our own fellowship. And I'm not saying it's all pornography. It could be any number of things, but the simple fact of how easy it is to access it is what's destroying men. And God is saying, you are my people. I have called you to be different. I have called you to be separate from what this world is. More and more you read these psychologists and these people are saying, oh yeah, it's good, it's healthy for them. It's something that they can indulge in and it won't affect them. But that's a lie from hell. We have the culture of family. I am the way I am because of my heritage. I drink the way I drink because I'm Irish. I have a temper because of this. No, the issue is that you're sinful. And we're all full of sin, right? We all have issues in our hearts that we need to bring before God so that He can heal, so that He can restore. You know, it's something that we have to cut off. I remember growing up, my family moved here from Los Angeles. You know, and all my family back in L.A., I have a huge family, and they all say, well, why are you leaving? Why are you disconnecting yourself from the family, the family, the family? But I think back, had my parents not moved here, made that decision to cut away, to move away from that, and have this be their culture, have this be our inheritance, where would I be? Where would my brother be, who was also a pastor? All my siblings are saved. They're living for God. God is blessing. God is moving. God is doing incredible things. Had my parents not come and cut off that family code, and I know it's hard, but sometimes families are our worst enemy. And especially if your family, I've known people this a few years ago when we were on staff here in Prescott as door directors. This girl that my wife had, we both actually went to school with this girl. My wife was her roommate in Phoenix. This girl got completely strung out on heroin for 10 years, addicted to heroin, lost and broken, and she came to church. She came to conference of all time. She came to conference, and she got powerfully saved, incredibly, delivered. And you know what her mom said? Any church but that one. I know you've had your issues. I know you had your problems. I know that you've been strung out on heroin. Finally, you're getting delivered. Finally, God is moving in your life. But not that church. Come on. You know where she is today? She's living up in Denver, Colorado, strung out again. Family. And this is the culture that God has called us to become to go against. You see, what God is looking for is not a bunch of people who claim Christianity. But God is looking for a people who live Christianity, who live different. Not only when we're in church, when we're polished up, when we got our nice clothes on, when we've taken showers and we've shaven, combed our hair, but when we're out there. God says, you are in the world, but you are not of it. We are here, we're just sojourners, we're just passing through. But while we're passing through, why not be different? Why not live a life that has been set apart so that we can make a difference in somebody else's life, so that we can impact with our testimony the life that God has blessed us with, so that we can be declarers of the gospel, of the good news that, yeah, while we were yet sinners, while we were in this world, Christ died, and we have been made brand new. Old things have passed away. God has moved and is transformed. And why not let that be our life? Instead of always focusing on the fight, instead of always focusing on the bad, on the issues of life, and, oh, man, this is going wrong, and I'm stressing out about this, and, you know, this is over here, this isn't right. And why not just trust God? Why not just say, you know what? While I'm focusing on this fight, on this struggle, I'm missing everything that God has done for me and is going to do for me. You know what counterculture means? It's a subculture whose values and behavior deviate from those of mainstream society. That's the literal definition of counterculture. Now apply that spiritually. Spiritually speaking, we are to be, spiritually speaking, our values should be different. Our behavior should be different. It says often going in the opposition of mainstream and cultural norms. That's what counterculture means. And God is saying, don't be like them. Don't conform to them. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the only way that this can truly happen is by repenting. Because we can indulge. We can often indulge, and that carnality can come and creep in and set itself in our hearts. And if we don't check it, it can cause some serious repercussions in the long run. Galatians 3:26-27, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ." And so what that literally means is you put him on. Like you wake up in the morning, you get dressed, you're putting on clothes, you're covering yourself, right? But what this scripture is actually saying is along with that, that's important, you put on Christ as well. You put on his nature. You put on who he is. You put on his character. You put on his heart. You put on everything that Christ is. You put it on yourself. See, that's what Christianity means. That's what being saved means. We're not talking about religion. It's not just coming to church and coming to a breakfast or hearing a good message and being right on. Good words. No, but it's letting those words penetrate your heart. It's letting the Holy Spirit transform who you are. It's letting God come into your life and absolutely revolutionize it and change it so that you can impact somebody else. You see, unless we have fruitfulness, unless we have a personal element of fruitfulness, then we're going to have a hard time making this all work. Because if we don't see it in somebody else, it gets difficult to see it in our own selves. That's why I love talking to new converts. I love talking to people that have recently been saved, because it ignites something in me. And it brings to mind, like, this is why we do what we do. This is why we are involved in this. This is why God has called us. This is why God raises us up. And men, we have to rise up and be men in this generation. In this culture, in this day and age, in this time, if you're saved in this place, there should be a distinctive difference between you and the world. There should be something that people look at you and they say, you know what, something is different about them. I remember, this is very sad because I just heard some bad news about this individual, but I was at lunch with this new convert. We were just hanging out. I took him over to Blue Hills Cafe. We're sitting there just talking, having a good time, joking around. And this elderly lady walks up to me and she says, "Excuse me, sir, are you a pastor?" And I said, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am." She says, "Why?" She goes, "I don't know, there's just something about you that's different." And she says, "Thank you for what you're doing." I said, "Thank you for noticing." But it's not like we were talking about God. We were just fellowshipping, having normal conversation. I wasn't in there in a suit. I didn't have my Bible sitting next to me. It was just, there was a distinctive difference that people saw, people noticed. I was actually talking to my brother Jesse about this. Evangelist Steve Bowman was up there in Albuquerque, and he went up to visit my brother in Santa Fe. And, Pastor Wilson was there too, and the same thing happened to them. In this restaurant, carrying on, having a good time, waiter comes up and says, "Excuse me, are you guys from a church?" The distinctive difference. I wonder, when people look at you, what do they see? When people see your life, your testimony, what are they seeing? Are you emanating God's love? God's life-changing power? Because I'm telling you what, they're watching. They're watching. And as I said, more and more, it seems like this blatant attack or assault is coming against Christianity and salvation and God and Jesus and the church. While it may seem that way, that's what the devil would love for you to think. But in reality, God is saying, rise up, be different, because your life is what's going to impact and bring hope to this hurting culture. Because in essence, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for hope. They're looking for change. They're looking for salvation. Romans 1:16, it says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." God needs people to tell others that life doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to be constantly battling. Your heart doesn't have to constantly be broken. That God can change. How many of you know the gospel must be declared and proclaimed and lived? That's what God has called each and every one of us to do. And how many of you know this message isn't so that we can think, "Oh yes, I live against the culture. All of them are beneath me," you know. That's not what I'm saying. Because every single one of us were once just like them. And we can't for a moment think, "Oh, well, I can't be bothered with new converts. I can't be bothered with people that come into the church." It's astounding to me sometimes that individuals, visitors would come in and nobody greets them. God has called us to be a people who would rise up and declare the good news of the gospel. The hope, the salvation, the peace that can come with having your heart right with God. In this chaotic and insane world, we can have a hope. We can have an assurance. The Apostle Paul in our text is bringing to light that we have to have this mindset and understand that salvation is for everyone. It's for all races. It's for all classes. It's for men. It's for women. And our generation desperately needs God. And if we would be a people, like the Bible said, "If my people who were called by my name would humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land." That's what we most desperately need. We need healing. We need restoration. We need God to pour out His Holy Spirit. Why not have it start with us? Why not have it start in each and every one of our hearts? Why not let that fire of revival begin in us today? Why don't we be a group of men that say, "You know what? I'm going to stand up for righteousness. I'm going to stand up for holy. I'm going to be different. I'm going to go against the grain. And I'm going to make God my number one priority. Everything else doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what I do for God." We all have to make that decision. Because ultimately, we're all going to stand before God. We're all going to give an account. The Bible says our works are going to be tried by fire. And the only thing that's going to make it through that fire is what you did for God. Everything else, all the other accolades, all the other things, can be a pile of ash. But that one thing that you do for God, or those things that you do for God, that's what's going to make it through. And it's like I've said before, you know what what's better than going to heaven? Is bringing somebody with you. There is a lost and hurting culture, and God has called us to go against that and to stand for righteousness and to be testimonies. Let's bow our heads in this place. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just for a moment, as we bring this to a close. In this place, I didn't preach on how to become a Christian or how to receive Christ into your heart, but in this place there is a hope. And before we change the order of the service, before we do different things, move on to other things, I would like to do one thing, and that is to invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your personal Savior. Perhaps you find yourself in this place and you would identify with this culture. You would say, yeah, I kind of have lived like them. Kind of do what they do. I kind of do think how they think. And you have found that it has left you sometimes broken, ashamed, hurting. But God, in His mercy and His grace, wants to change your life. He wants to help you. He wants to give you blessings. He wants to give you a new start. The Bible says that whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. And that is the hope that is offered in Jesus Christ, in Him coming down to this earth 2,000 years ago and living a perfect and a sinless life and dying the death that we all deserved. In doing so, He provided access for you and I to have a relationship with God. No longer do we have to be strangers to God, but as our text says, that we can be sons of the Most High God. And if you're in this place and you want that, you've never said a prayer of repentance, you've never asked God to come into your heart, you've never received Him, invited Him in, I would like to give you that opportunity. And how you do that is by simply saying a prayer. A prayer that says, God, forgive me. I know I've lived against your will. I've gone against your commandments. I've done things that violated you. But in this moment, in honesty and in humility, I know I need help. I know I need you in my heart. And if you want to say that prayer, I would ask you to just do one thing, and that's simply raise your hand. Slip up your hand quickly. I see this hand here, and all we're asking you to do is just to say a prayer. We're not going to have you come up here and give a speech or sign anything or do anything silly. All we want to do is say a prayer with you. How many would there be in this place? God is dealing with hearts. God is moving in this place. You want to receive Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Slip up your hand. Like I said, it's not church that we're talking about. Church will do nothing for you. Religion will do nothing for you. The only thing that can help us, the only thing that can change us, the only thing that can give us a fighting chance in this life is a relationship with God. Don't wait. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. Perhaps you're in this place and once you did have a relationship with Jesus Christ, once you did know Him and you walked with Him, but for whatever reason you've turned your back. Come back home, backslider. God loves you. Incredibly, He loves you. And He wants to have a relationship with you. Just slip up your hand quickly before we move on to other things. Raise your hand, put it up, put it right back down. You're just saying, I want to say a prayer. It would be a privilege to pray with you in this place. Hallelujah. Thank God. Speaking to Christians then. God has called us be different, to rise up in this generation and proclaim the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ is alive. And like I said, it's not to say that we're better than people. It's not to condemn people and look down on people. No, it's to say, you know what, I was there. I struggled, I fought, I had hard times, I was tempted, but God in His mercy and in His grace and in His love, He's changed me, and you can be different as well. I wonder in this place, speaking to Christians, how many of you would take this challenge of rising up and being different in this generation? How many of you would take that seriously and say, from this moment on, I will be different? Slip up your hand. How many men would be in this place and say, yeah, I want to be different. I'm going to rise up to this challenge. To be a son of the Most High God. To proclaim His name wherever you go. That your life would emanate God's character. God's love and His mercy. God has called each and every one of us to be different. Amen. This one that raised his hand, my brother, come up, man. God bless you, man. Maybe you're in this place, you didn't raise your hand, but you want to come up, you want to pray. I would encourage you to do so, man. Just kneel down right here, man. Somebody's going to come and pray with you. Andy, you want to come pray with him? Man. Amen. We're all going to stand to our feet in this place. Let's worship God. Let's love Him in this place. Let's just start praising Him for all that He's done. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank You for the blood of Jesus, Father God, for Your mercy and Your grace, hallelujah. Oh, I'm asking You, Father God, that You would have right of way in this place, God, that You would deal with each and every one of our hearts, Father. God, that You would make Yourself real in our lives, Father God, that You, Father, oh, would have right of way, God, that You would raise us up, men of integrity, God, men of character in this place, men after Your own heart, Father God, who would rise up, Father. Oh, who would stand in this generation, Father God. Oh, that would proclaim Your name, Father God. I thank You for the privilege, God, the honor that we have to know You, God. And I'm asking You to bless these men in this place. Seal this word in their heart. God, move in the supernatural. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll pass it over to Zach. Amen. God bless you. Thank you guys for listening.